Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
On today's episode of the Glue Guys Emergency Pod, LaMarcus Aldridge is a Brooklyn Net, another mega edition, the Snyder Cut. We have Cyborg, we have The Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. And if we're continuing this analogy, LaMarcus Aldridge is Martian Manhunter. What an exciting...
Is that a real person?
Yeah. That was too much in the tease, Brian.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about LaMarcus Aldridge. Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Damn, that was good. Check us out on Twitter.
Yeah.
At BK Glue Guys, netsdaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall, theathletic.com/glueguys. Our next pod's going to be an email pod, so netspod@gmail.com.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I'm just making it up. Let's go. Brian, emergency pod.
Cool. Wow. What a night. We'll always remember this night. Our cup runneth over officially, finally, truly. It's too much now. It is too much. It's a burden. All these riches. Mike, we had a day. What happened?
So LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's kind of trace this back a little bit before we get to the news. Yeah. Which obviously, if let's people are coming to our pod, they know the news.
Whoa. We're going way too fast. Let's back into this baby.
Yeah. We've been waiting all year for Andre Drummond to be bought out.
Mm.
The Nets have been waiting. You know, He was the prince that was promised, the potato sack defense prince that was promised. Mm. And throughout that whole journey, the Nets signed Blake. Nick Claxton showed something that we didn't know that he had inside of him. Mm. But yet we're waiting for Andre, waiting for Godot, waiting for Drummond.
Right. I was waiting for that. That was going to come out. I was waiting for Mike to make the waiting for Godot joke.
Yeah. What do you think is the correct ratio of people who've actually read
don't,
waiting
don't
for
know
Godot
anything about it
or
to
gone
have no
to
idea.
See waiting for Godot versus yeah, have used that phrase?
It is a 0-1 ratio for sure.
Do you know it's about God? Anyways, so sorry. So we were waiting for Drummond. And he is free. He became free from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Everything looked like he was heading in an interesting direction. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a big man from San Antonio pulled up his bootstraps and made the voyage to Brooklyn. LaMarcus Aldridge is a Brooklyn Net.
Yeah. Not a Miami Heater. Not a Heater. A Netter.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing. But before we're going to break down everything that this is, because this is an emergency pod, Brian.
Yeah.
Let's not do emotions, but how do you feel about it?
A classic. I feel weird about this one.
I agree.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
And it's not that I feel like, how do I feel? Let's just go from there. I feel like this is an odd fit. I going back, you know, again, we have not, I'm not going to pretend like I've watched a whole lot of LaMarcus Aldridge in the last couple of years. That would be dishonest. We don't do that here on the Glue Guys. That's not a glue move. Okay, Mike. So I had to go and dig up some old articles on poundingtherock.com, the SB Nation board for the Spurs, to glean a little bit about what their ecosystem thinks of LaMarcus Aldridge. And I got to tell you, they don't think much of him in the ways that we that we would want. They are, the data about him being, you know, bad on defense seems pretty overwhelming. Also, the eye test seems to, he seems to have been pissing people off in the last couple of years on the defensive end, which is where we need, if we need the help, I guess that's where we need it. Or, I mean, I don't know. It's just more adding more depth. But I guess like the way that I see this deal just is, I guess the fit is going to be interesting because I don't know where LaMarcus Aldridge sees himself in his own career. Mm-hmm. Blake Griffin is, I think, a perfect, like, you know, fitting in seamlessly because I'm thinking he's very content to be playing his hard won 16 to 20 minutes, depending on the matchup, and not being a focal point for the first time in his career. And I think that bench role is suiting him nicely. Is LaMarcus Aldridge feeling that way? I mean, presumably because he's, you know, taking this veteran minimum 1 year deal. So that suggests, you know, somebody knows where they're at in their career. But maybe not. I don't know. Like there's a lot to unpack, Mike. But yeah, symbolically speaking, I think that's the most important thing. It's yet another data point to suggest that we are the Death Star that everyone kind of thinks we are. And so for those reasons, for just the, you know, supporting the Death Star narrative, I'm in favor of it. And that's important. That's an important narrative to propagate.
Do we want to be the Death Star though? You know,
we already are.
It blew up twice. You know?
That's true. Hadn't thought about that.
A flawed.
What is our like missile canal thing? What's the missile canal for us?
I guess it would be defense via the post position.
It's literally like LaMarcus Aldridge. He is the missile canal that we've tried to. Well, we just installed the missile canal. Like, the last piece. Well,
Jyn Erso's father, Galen Erso, was the one who who installed that in the Death Star because,
right?
I mean, he was really the chief scientist behind.
You think Pat Riley was like at the zero hour?
Galen Erso?
Wow.
And Spolstra's Jyn Erso?
Thinking of the thumbnail for the YouTube video, there's going to be a Death Star imagery in there. Anyways, go ahead.
I do think the Heat wanted him. And my favorite thing about signing LaMarcus Aldridge is that he is not a Heat. That he's not a Heatle. I think, you know, I don't love LaMarcus Aldridge. He's fine. No. I mean, if he's a buyout guy, that's great. I'm a little worried. What's that?
What did he do to you? What, you don't love him?
Don't love him. Don't love him.
All right.
Not a fan. Ooh. Of his game so much. Yeah, you know, and I'll dig into maybe that a little bit more.
Get in there.
The thing I like about it is that he is not a Miami Heat because I think he would have helped the Heat much more than he'll help this Nets team. You know, you brought up Blake Griffin. I agree with you totally. Like, Blake understands where he's at. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to have a 20-point game every now and again, and it's going to be fun and exciting. But I would imagine Blake seems to be okay if he's just getting, like, 4 points, 5 rebounds, addition, not 2 assists, getting 18 minutes a game and, like, just riding the waves, looking great on the sidelines, making jokes, becoming a prankster.
Totally. Prank show. Got a prank show now. Yes.
LaMarcus Aldridge did give up, I think reportedly like $7.5 million to leave San Antonio and come to the Nets. And that would indicate that he's like here to win. Right. And we've seen guys come to the Nets and, oh, you got a two. What's up?
That's two. That's the price of two Jerusalem wine cellars. Like, that he gave up to be here. Okay. San Antonio based Jerusalem wine cellars.
And finally, maybe his house will now go on the market and finally. We'll see if he makes more than Popovich or not. Right. So that indication that he's gave up all that money, he wanted to join the Nets because he wanted to compete for a championship. That shows that maybe he's willing to, you know, reform his game, what his game was. What his game was in San Antonio was not tremendous defense, and it was a lot of like mid-range pulley uppies, like little like old dinosaur shooter game.
I just think, right? Of him as extended elbow jumper. That's what that's all I think of when I think of LaMarcus Aldridge, for better or worse.
Now, the thing I like beyond the fact that he's not on the Heat, because I do think he would have helped the Heat. They need like a little bit more talent coming off that bench in terms of production. Like Precious is probably more talented than LaMarcus Aldridge is at this point, but Precious is, he's a precious little man. He's not ready for prime time. The thing I like about him is that it goes all the way back to his decision for joining the San Antonio Spurs. People don't remember this, right? But he was on, when he was with the Trailblazers, coming out of the Trailblazers and deciding which team he wanted to go to, he was one of the most highly sought after free agents that season. Pretty much any team in the league would have wanted him at that point. I think he was like a 20-10 guy. This was still the point in the NBA when we really valued 20-10s, you know, when we really loved the big man that could do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
He chose the Spurs, one, because it's in Texas and he's from Texas, but there's plenty of teams in Texas. He chose the Spurs because he wanted to win.
Yeah.
Now, he's had a weird relationship in San Antonio.
Rocky.
Like, there's been times, there was a one really like rocky point with Greg Popovich where Pop had to come out and basically say like, yeah, me and LaMarcus had like a real heart to heart and we finally figured out maybe what we need to be honest with each other about. But like, it was a real moment. But LaMarcus Aldridge, deep in his soul, he went to San Antonio, I think, to win. And so if you're the type of guy that wants to do that at the age of, what, 35 now and 251 days as we're recording.
Mm-hmm. Ripe.
Yeah. I think that, you know, he may be able to show up here and kind of be potato sack defense guy and get you a couple buckets a game.
Can I do the optimistic version of this? Because, yes. I mean, I feel like we're coming in a little low.
This is the worst thing to do for, this should be a glorious day. You know,
this is pretty good.
Yeah. Because the Nets are getting, you know, a starting level big man for free.
Yeah.
He's just showing up at their door.
And so let me.
Like Elijah, happy Passover to all my Jewish brothers and sisters out there.
Shabbat.
It's Passover.
Is that what you say? Right?
It's literally, it's Passover. We had Passover dinner. That's why I missed your phone call. Cause I was.
Wow. How inappropriate of me. My God. My apologies. To keep going with this optimism, piggybacking on my take about how our front court rotation's a lot like Mike Messina's pitching.
Yes.
Have you heard me go on this? This is my take about this. Have you heard this?
Just kidding.
This is Mike's take.
This is okay. Yeah,
I was pretending that this was my take. This is a pitch that we don't have, Mike. A pick and pop center is one of, you know, a few pitches out there in the NBA's front court. It's one that's fading away a little bit. What's like an old pitch that people don't throw anymore? Is that a thing? Do they have like a
knuckleball? A knuckleball is that pitch. Yeah.
What was the peak of the knuckleball? What year was like their
the knuckleball? I mean, Tim Wakefield was the king of the knuckleball, but
right. So there's like guys that come and go, but there's no like, there's never been a trend of just like, there's a weird amount of knuckleballers in this 10-year period. No, never.
I don't even think in all the way back in like 1890 were knuckleballers. Yeah. Just everyone was knuckleballing their way through America.
not everyone, just, you know, a blip, just a moment where it was, anyways, the pick and pop center blip for the NBA was, well, it wasn't a blip. That was like the entirety of the NBA for a long time. Here comes my cat. He's going to be annoying. But yeah, so it's a pitch that we don't have. And we, you know, if we're just building up a vast repertoire, and like Steve Nash has been, to his credit, been really effective at just like putting these pieces directly into their place, neatly, succinctly, not missing a beat. You know, we're not losing any games, even though all we're really running out there is James Harden and like these randos that we're picking up off the waiver wire at this point. I mean, I'm underselling that a bit, but that's what I do. But anyways, so here's another rando. Here's another no just name off the waiver wire. Here's another G leaguer. Just kidding. No, he's a guy. But yeah, it's another part of the repertoire. And you know, Mike, another thing you've been talking about is how much credit Steve Nash might be owed for seamlessly integrating all these parts. You know, maybe LaMarcus's skill set just is fitting a hole we don't see quite yet.
Yeah, and so again, you know, Alize Johnson, while he had a great game, I think you'd rather bank on LaMarcus Aldridge in the playoffs against bigger teams instead of like a guy like Alize Johnson. And not that either of them would be getting. You know, here's one thing. This is from Woj when Woj was reporting this out. He said Aldridge is expected to see a significant amount of his minutes at center for the Nets, which makes a lot of sense, of course. I mean, if they were playing him at power forward for a bunch of minutes with KD coming back, that would not make sense. You know, Seth Partnow from The Athletic. Seth used to be like basically the director of analytics for the Milwaukee Bucks. Seth tweeted out something like, every year we have a veteran big man who gets bought out. Everyone gets excited for that player, but that player typically has more downside than upside at that point because teams try to fit, bring that guy in and try to still see if they have something left that is worth amount of minutes. That is a concern with LaMarcus Aldridge, but again, to go back to your Steve Nash point and about this locker room, I think the good thing is that KD, Kyrie, and Harden will sniff out immediately if LaMarcus Aldridge can give them anything.
Yeah.
Right? Now, LaMarcus Aldridge and KD, I don't know if they're close at all. They both went to Texas, though, obviously at way different times. You know, I'm sure they maybe had some alumni soirees in Austin. Austin's a great town. Mm-hmm. I would support that if they did.
Mitchell Robinson just broke his foot, and I was watching it, and I was like, that reminds me of exactly how I broke my foot. When I broke my foot, I was like, I swear, I bet that guy has a broken foot. I'm telling you, dude, I've got a third eye for these things.
You literally have two eyes for the. I mean,
I'm just two.
Yeah, no. I think so. What I've been observing, and I haven't really talked too much about, but DeAndre Jordan has slowly been getting pushed out by Harden, not Durant because Durant's not playing, or Kyrie, but by Harden. Harden's been pretty hard on DeAndre Jordan, it seems like, on the floor. Like, they're constantly talking. We had Bruce Brown on our show, and Bruce Brown was saying about how much DJ and Harden have a back and forth with each other. I forget who tweeted this, but someone of some reputable reporter was basically saying, like, DeAndre Jordan may be preparing to have less and less minutes. Let's do this right now. Kind of did this with Alex Shifford, but now we have a new sort of set of players of which to deal with. If I'm giving you all the big men, I'm giving you, again, Jeff Green, who still counts as a center in my book at times, Blake Griffin, Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, LaMarcus Aldridge. Let's look at it in a playoff scenario, not just like who would you play regular minutes throughout the season. Who do you want out there the most? You know, I still think it's Jeff Green. I still think then it's probably Blake Griffin from what I've already seen of Blake. I like him out there, particularly once KD comes back. I think that's going to be even better.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like Nick. I mean, then it's Nick Claxton.
It's Nick Claxton, DeAndre, and then LaMarcus probably, which is kind of a strange thing to say because, I mean, we have to wait to see whether we can trust these San Antonio Spurs fans, these wackadoos.
when have they ever seen good basketball?
Yeah, and their assessment of his defense. But if it's as galling as reported, plus, you know, a desire to be shooting mid-range jumpers on this particular team, I don't know. You know, I don't want to pour sour milk all over this deal right now because it's you know, but this is where we are. We're completely spoiled rotten, Mike. That's where we are.
So let's do that. Do you have faith that Steve Nash and the team will be like, if it's proven LaMarcus doesn't have anything, I think they will like immediately be like, he doesn't have anything. You know, then they'll go from there. He won't play basketball for them.
Yeah, I think he is I think that's exactly right. Like, I think that there's no need to like do any kind of like token, give him minutes routine. That doesn't seem like a thing that we'll have to do. And to your point about James Harden, how about James Harden's leadership? Just like he continues to drill, even like watching that Pistons game last night, like basically every minute of the game, he is dressing down DeAndre Jordan to some extent, like, which is how, you know, a lot of us are on the Discord. Shout out to the Discord. Follow link in the Twitter bio. It's become a meme now. I don't know if you can tell. So the dressing down continues to happen. And I'm wondering if Harden can fit another big onto his dressing down repertoire. I'm sure he can. I'm sure he's got time for that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I think that's like, so we have this fear. I think there's a fear. This is a guy who's always wanted the ball in his career. He has deserved the ball for a vast majority of that time, but he plays an older brand of basketball. You can look at his three-point percentage right now, and it's 36% from three on 3.5 attempts per game. So that's not insignificant. You know, that's a decent number. Last year's on three attempts a game, it was at 39% from three. He's always been a very good shooter. That's why he takes mid-range. He hasn't always been a bad defender, but he isn't a guy who like makes a tremendous impact defensively. He really is someone from an old era. What is he now? Well, the Spurs are technically in the playoffs, mm-hmm. or in the playoff race, and he didn't want to be there, and they didn't really want him to be there. Mm-hmm. So, that's indicative. Again, I think why this move could work is, one, it didn't cost them anything. It's a guy. And maybe we'll talk about the buyout situation in a little bit. He's just a guy. If it doesn't work, they can either just cut him, they could do that, or they can just keep him on the bench. There have been many contenders that just have a guy on their bench. It's not like a negative. What I just hope is that by his inclusion, that he doesn't muck up the minutes. I hope he comes into mm-hmm. this with sacrifice and being humble and being ready to roll. And
the Nets culture, intuits the Nets culture. Yeah.
So we are in this buyout. We're in buyout frenzy. Drummond's going to go to the Lakers, I think has been reported tonight.
Looks like it could happen.
Nets Twitter really wanted Gorgui Dieng. That felt that the Gorgui Dieng push, the tsunami of Dieng-ness.
That was happening, huh?
That was big.
That's a weird one. People really wanted Gorgui Dieng.
I think it's because he's a good three-point shooter, and he's known as the best defender of all these guys. Okay. So I get it. But the Nets end up with a Marcus Aldridge, which was a bit of a surprise. Do you think there's any difference in your mind between Drummond and LaMarcus Aldridge? Do you think that it really makes that much of a difference between the Nets championships? Because I don't think it really does. The only way it does is if Drummond, the guy who shows up with the Lakers, is like, he's completely reformed. If he's completely different than how he's played his whole career. Because his whole career, he's been the most inefficient post scorer.
Yeah.
In like the NBA history.
I would say that. My read on it is that Drummond probably has less ability to adapt his game than LaMarcus Aldridge. So, you are getting the Andre Drummond experience sort of no matter what if he's on the floor. LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, we've seen if any team can take a player and kind of remodel them for our particular, for what we need from them, it seems to be like the Nets. Like right now we have just like been importing these players who have had, way bigger roles on their respective teams, and just sort of Harden is the best example of it. But like even Blake Griffin is just like seamlessly, he's being super kind of almost too passive in previous games. I think the Pistons game was last night's game was sort of the best example of him looking for his own shot, the right amount, like the perfect right amount. So LaMarcus for me is like obviously the more skilled player, and with more skill, one would think, comes the ability to sort of remodel your game in the necessary ways. So that being said, I do think I would prefer LaMarcus Aldridge pretty considerably over Drummond.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with you. The flexibility, his offensive flexibility has been better, and defense, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, Drummond isn't the memes about Drummond. I mean, Drummond's team defense has been, there's some pretty good Twitter clips and stuff of him just being completely lost. I mean, that seems to be a thing.
The one thing that I do, there's not one thing. I've liked a couple of things about LaMarcus Aldridge. He's played in 72 playoff games, And he's been in playoffs both in Portland and in San Antonio. In San Antonio, he's been a couple of teams that are pretty good. It's not nothing to have that experience.
Right.
Drummond doesn't have that experience. Gorgie Jang does not have that experience at all. Nick Claxton, I mean, that, you know, as much as we love Nick Claxton and as exciting as he is, those are the type of players that when the playoffs start, you don't see them ever again.
Yeah.
Now, I think Nash is going to be actually a little bit more, he's going to be able to deploy Nick Claxton in moments.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I've come all the way around on like Nick Claxton being able to get like real minutes in the playoffs. I actually think that that's totally feasible just based on how well he defends guards all the way out at the perimeter. It's like a crazy skill to have at his, with his age and his position.
Do you want to know what's the ultimate like Nets podcaster thing that I'm about to say?
Please. Yeah.
You know, the Bucks, they have Giannis. I actually think Nick Claxton on Giannis isn't terrible.
Somebody, who was it? Well, no, I was saying Nick Claxton on Embiid and Giannis, but I threw them in together because the Embiid thing is obviously not as whatever. But I threw them together, and I feel like it sounded crazy at the very beginning, but it seems not so crazy. I mean, honestly, all the clips made the rounds of him basically like stuffing Damian Lillard in a couple of occasions. He's got some wild versatility defensively. It's a pretty wild situation that we got on our hands, Mike. It's wild.
Claxton is so athletic. He could be the mysterious or mythical wing defender that I wanted the Nets to get at the trade deadline. The Josh Richardson type that wanted the Nets.
He's like the Otto Porter that you want. Like,
The Nets, I think the Nets do still have a roster spot that they could utilize if they don't re-sign Alize Johnson. And if Otto Porter gets bought out and then he ends up on this team, people would be upset. People would be very mad at the Brooklyn.
They're already upset. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Just be the Death Star. They already hate us. Let's quadruple down. Let the butt hurt flow through you.
So it's kind of funny. I think if you are a listener and you've gotten this far, you would be like, they were really down.
I know.
I don't want to be down on it. I just don't want to make it seem. I don't want to make it seem like this is the piece that he's the guy that's going to fix any issue that they may have defensively. He's not that dude. But he's going to be consistently better than Alize Johnson will be.
It is a jewel in the crown of our depth. Like that is the last, little bit of oomph to say like that is an incredibly deep team built for the playoffs.
I mean, let's do this bit. Okay. Here's the starting lineup, right? I don't actually know who's starting at center anymore, but it's Kyrie, KD, James Harden, Joe Harris. I'll say DeAndre Jordan still starting.
I think probably.
Bruce Brown, this is bench now. Bruce Brown, Shamit, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm skipping. There's some. Oh, Nick Claxton. You know, this team is, and maybe Spencer Dinwiddie coming back from injury. It is crazy. And this all happened. The Nets traded their depth to get Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And that depth, the departure of Taurean Prince and Jared Allen, Caris LeVert have been filled in through Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. Luis Scola, the prophet, Luis, Argentinian prophet, called it. You know, he said everyone's going to come here, and everyone is here.
We were so naive back then, Mike, when we traded away our depth. I'm using my air quotes here. If you're not watching on YouTube. Our depth. We were in a Mohawks airline state of mind, Mike. Mm-hmm. That's where we were. Mm-hmm. We were just a mom and pop shop. And that's different now. We didn't realize, because it's never happened to us, that you can just pick up all the best players off the waiver. We didn't think about that at the time, because that's not a Nets tradition. It's crazy. It's 2021. Everything's different now. Everything's great. Let's party.
So I think KD's coming back soon from injury. Hopefully Kyrie's back. There was someone random that reported that maybe. I don't even want to say what they reported. I mean, nothing bad about Kyrie, just that they had some additions to his family. I'll say it that way. This is just some random report. I don't know how it got traction, but this is what I saw. So I don't know if it's true. If it is true, blessings to him, exciting for it. But if it's not, that's awkward that I talk about it. Everyone's going to come back, and this team is going to go to a whole nother level. Let's just do one small thing. We'll probably talk about it more in the next episode. We should talk about it now. James Harden said that he is the MVP. Someone asked him, are you an MVP? He said, yes. I'll say this. No guy has ever won the MVP being traded that same year. No one has ever been traded and then become MVP. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Are you open to considering? Is he the MVP? Does he deserve to be? You know, what are you feeling?
You know how I feel really about this? The arbitrariness of this MVP award. I've always hated it. And the conversation around it just, I feel uncomfortable even engaging with it just because it's, you know, it's such a fake award.
And I'll just be honest. He's not going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Because he is like, honestly, like, I mean, who's
right now? He's the best player in the NBA right now.
Like completely carrying this team into like a divine prominence. It's incredible to watch.
The thing that's going to happen is that if Kevin Durant comes back this week, we're all going to realize again, oh, that guy's good. Mm-hmm. That guy's good at basketball. I don't know if you've watched Kevin Durant, but he's good at so that's going to happen. And then as great as Harden is, and he's going to be even better with Durant on the floor. You're just not going to do it. It's like one of those David O. Russell movies where you got Bradley Cooper in it and Christian Bale. It's got an amazing cast.
Mm.
You can't win best actor in one of those movies because you're around a bunch of other, Amy Adams is in it.
No, you gotta be
Jennifer Lawrence is in it.
You gotta be just starring,
naming one movie.
Revenant, you know, just that's the model. Yes. You and a bear. Just
that's Giannis. Isn't Giannis basically Revenant?
He is the Revenant of MVP candidates. That's exactly right.
So this is exciting. Let's put one final thing. So LaMarcus Aldridge, yay or nay?
I am extremely pro this. We've come in like seeming like anti somehow. I think that's maybe how some people read this, but I'm incredibly pro. And this is, again, it is a jewel.
It's
in
great.
The crown, in yeah, the crown of our depth. Yeah.
It's great. I just hope he doesn't torpedo this team. So
I mean, the toxicity, I can't imagine he's going to be stirring up some bullshit with the caliber of players we have on this team. That would be inappropriate, Michael.
Well, it's crazy that I've done this before, but it's like the fact that we have any negative feelings about a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge wanting to join the Nets is stupid. It's stupid.
I feel dumb. I feel dumb for the conversation we just had. Like, regret it. No, it was good. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back in your ears as soon as possible. Check out our Discord, link in our Twitter bio. Check out our Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is linked on our Facebook page. Check out our Instagram, which is linked on our Facebook. Wait.
Which is written on the back of this piece of paper here. Just kidding.
We do have an Instagram.
We have a very poorly tended to. We let so many, you know, there's so many platforms these days, Mike. What can you do?
Thank you all for listening. Again, we'll do so. We'll have more Nets content soon. Mailbag, get your questions in, get your thoughts in. The mailbag will be focused. Here's what the focus is. It'll be rotation focused, playoff focused, and end of the season. Like, just keep staring at the playoffs. So focus your questions and thoughts and comments towards playoff matchups and rotations. That's what it's going to be about. Netspod@gmail.com.
Thanks, everybody.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.